not completely, you're not a household name yet. Fair enough?
Oh, no.
Okay. So that means that what you put out now is what they're thinking of. So having this old material out there that may be of value, but it is a misrepresentation of the artist you're trying to present. How does that infect the image and marketing of yourself that you're trying to present at this point?
I don't know that it's actually a misrepresentation. I think that my sound has evolved, and when people come out to see me live, they grasp the full spectrum of what I do.
Okay.
But the difficulty is getting the word out there and promoting. I think video is a very powerful tool. We're working on preparing to do a video. And this is the thing. It takes so much money to pour in to promoting your art, to get seen, to get heard, to get to the next level.
I hear you.
So luckily, I've been blessed in hooking up with wonderful world-class musicians who are so credentialed and well-traveled, who are in it with me for the music, not for money. They didn't, you know, they sought me out, and I feel so honored by that. So I know that something I'm doing right. And every time I connect with someone on that level of musicianship, or a producer who's, you know, Tony Visconti heard me singing on a demo, and he compared me to Kate Bush, and I was really honored by that. He loved my voice, and I, you know, I've met a lot of who's who of what the heck. But having the money to go the distance with these people, and also, you know, age is a factor. We're a very culturally stagnated society, I think, because when it comes, there's a lot of ageism in our society, and I'm a mom. I'm not in my 20s. And it makes a big difference. I think that the industry begs for some sort of upheaval in that arena, but I don't know that that's going to happen in my lifetime, you know. So I'm happy to be continuing doing what I'm doing with these excellent musicians in my aura, as it were, and having the opportunity to get supported to continue recording, because I haven't really had to pay out a whole lot of money to do my last few projects. And I know that for a lot of my friends, you know, they're going broke trying to get heard. I know that somehow the songs I've written have resonated enough with people, a higher caliber of artistry and musicianship, whereby I've attained backing to get to this point, and now we're getting ready to move to the next level. And that, you know, so it's something that I'm very grateful for, and I just have to start there. I'm grateful to continue doing my art. Yes, I do want to promote it and bring it to the next level, but do I have tons of money to, you know, dump into social networking and high-tech video at this juncture? I don't, but I think that we're with the people I'm surrounded with now and working with, that and the time we're investing in rehearsing and reproducing these songs, they're really going to get heard now. I know the difference in the shows we've done as of late, and I really do see good things happening that were meant to happen probably before, but I guess it happens when it happens.
Now, the songs that you did with Recording Artist Development, RAD, as you referred to recently, one of them was apocalyptic vibe?
You know what? That wasn't a RAD recording, actually. That was with a band I was in previously to the Val Kinsler Project with Joseph Vasta, David White, and Tony Lazar, and Liz Taub, our violinist. Don't let me forget beautiful Liz, Miss Violizzy. No, Apocalyptic Vibe on the Lower East Side was a song I wrote. Two Christmases ago, I picked up a bass guitar, and I just started fiddling around with it. And there's a lot of the whole gentrification of the Lower East Side. And politically, they were talking about sending women back to the 50s, not giving them, revoking the right for women to decide about aborting and such. So that was where Apocalyptic Vibe came from, and I was playing out with my band Validation at the time, which was a whole different lineup of musicians. And we've since moved on. So that was recorded with Validation. Those tracks are going to be, they're in the process, actually, of being remixed and mastered, and then they'll be available on iTunes, a few of the songs that we favored, because we just, frankly, we went through a rather rocky band divorce. There were some artistic differences that reared their ugly head, and that was sort of incentive for me to move on, and since then the other players have moved on to other projects as well, but we're all, you know, maintaining friendships outside and just, you know, sort of trying to support each other in our new ventures and whatnot.
It is interesting. It's pretty tough when you're working artistically with other people and you have extremely strong opinions about what you think is artistically right, quote unquote.
And some people hit the wall because it's hard to do this, you know?
You don't want to give up on your internal compass artistically, and at the same time, you want to be reasonable with the people that you're collaborating with, because they have a vision also, and there just comes a point where there's an impasse, and you say, you know what, my drive to be artistically comfortable with myself is stronger than my motivation to be with you.
Exactly. You know, I've never been into, one evening I was singing at a club on the Upper East Side called Manny's Car Wash, and it was, you know, a blues club. I was with a band called Blue Lagoon, and some young lady comes up to the stage and she's like, wow, I love what you do. Do you have a CD? And I had a CD, my very first CD, which was produced by Genya Raven of Ten Wheel Drive and Goldie and the Gingerbreads, who actually sang backup on some of those songs. So I gave her that CD, but it was kind of like a sit down, drink a glass of wine, folk rock type of CD, like a real singer-songwriter thing, different from me doing this heart-wrenching blues thing. But the thing that stuck out to me and that still stands out to me with people who see me perform is that they say, wow, it's really sexy, but you're not selling TNA up there. It's all about the music. And that, you know, matters to me, because no, I'm not selling TNA, but can I be sensual even as, you know, a woman not in her, you know, not in a specific age genre where it's considered cool to be like, you know, a hossy-tossy little whatever the heck Pop-Tart. It's like you can, by being who you are and realizing your art to the fullest and completely engaging and giving yourself up to that, you know? So, anyway.
Well, before we get too far away from talking about it, let's just give a quick listen to Apocalyptic Vibe on the Lower East Side. We get to hear it now in its old format before the new mixed version makes its way into the public. So here you go, everybody.
A peek into the, I love this particular version.
Here's a sneak peek into the past. All right. Apocalyptic Vibe on the Lower East Side.
There's an apocalyptic vibe on the Lower East Side. An apocalyptic vibe on the Lower East Side. Anarchy thrives on the Lower East Side. An apocalyptic vibe on the Lower East Side. Don't wanna crawl, I would rather stand and take a fall. Don't really mind if you care to flirt, just keep your politics out from under my skirt. There's an apocalyptic vibe on the Lower East Side. An apocalyptic vibe on the Lower East Side. Anarchy thrives on the Lower East Side.
Alright, that is a very cool tune. Let's sort of wind up with this. You're not making a living as a musician at this point, right?
I teach some piano lessons. I teach some voice. We do a couple of, we're not playing cover music. We're not a wedding band. We may insert some covers, but while maintaining our creative integrity, covers that behoove us, that, you know, illustrate our, you know, maybe some Pretenders and, artists who reflect our own sensibilities. But we're not going to be a wedding band. No, what we're aiming for is something, you know, we're putting a whole package together, and I'm going for publishing because my strength is in being prolific enough to keep writing and the diversity in my writing. And I'm happy to have other people sing my songs as well, and I'd like to get it out there for other people to be able to do that, to have the availability to hear other people's interpretations of my work.
What have you not done musically? Not in terms of your career as a whole, but as a musician. Mm-hmm. What have you not done that you really intend to do musically? And now it could be about learning a specific instrument. It could be about writing a symphony. It could be about anything. What's on the agenda for you?
I really want to work on composing a script for the Broken Ballerina story, so that to back up and score that, about Monica Birrell, who was murdered by the Tompkins Square Park butcher. That's my dream. And it's basically, when people hear that song, they all reiterate that it should be scripted. So that's something I'm very passionate about doing in the future. I recently was, I got a phone call from a very noteworthy player. I can't say names at this point because I don't want to blow the project before it's happened, but she's honored me by requesting that I play her in a rock opera that she's actually composed, telling her life story, and she's got backers and everything, so I'm very excited about that project. I love theater, and I love incorporating rock and roll with theater, not the type of Rock of Ages, like necessarily top 40, but a storyline that really goes somewhere, and music that, you know, perhaps like Hedwig and the Angry Inch, that Stephen Trask soundtrack, just wonderful. You know, to me, something like that is so real and honest and true and inspiring. That's what I would hope to do, that I haven't managed to be able to organize as of yet, but it seems as though that will be a reality in the future.
How does the other things in your life that you do bring you to writing music? What is your process in writing a tune, and how does it relate to, because everyone asks that question, you know, what's your process? Is it lyrics first? Is it music first? And I'm interested in that, but I'm more interested in how does the people in your life and the experiences that you have manifest themselves into you suddenly banging it on the piano or putting the pen to paper, and that beginning to flow. What happens to you?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that very thing today because someone asked me a question about my lyrical inspiration behind a particular song. Sometimes I literally hear music in my dreams, and I wake up, and then I hit the piano immediately, or I pick up the guitar. I'm always writing. I take pen and paper to bed with me, or I'm typing in my phone. The minute the lights go out, my head hits the pillow. I never stop writing, pretty much. And when I'm walking, it gets filtered in through a dream, and I wake up and I write something immediately. Or I'm walking with my son. I have a 6.5-year-old son, and we'll be walking through the East Village. You know, New York is great. It's poetry in commotion. There is always something to witness here. Somebody bearing their soul, somebody walking around doing something outlandish, or some kind of conflict in motion that inspires me to write. So I'll literally use my voice recorder on my phone, and I just started writing a new blues, How I Love Your Filthy Heart, as I'm walking down Second Avenue in the East Village watching these, like, you know, kind of homeless people having a fight, duking it out with each other. And it's just life itself. That's what inspires me, the reactions that people have toward each other and how they survive their circumstances and deal with it. And as I witness that just makes me, you know, want to write songs about it.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
That not only makes sense, but that is the most perfect segue into giving a listen to one more song, and that is True Love Lies. I can't think of a better segue. All right, so let's give a listen to one of Val Kinsler's songs, True Love Lies.
Thank you.
I believe in true love lies. I believe in true love lies. I
So that was True Love Lies. We are here with Val Kinsler, a remarkable rising rock and roll woman. Rock and roller, a musician, and a poet. And
Thank you. Let's
hear a little bit about how people can check out your music, but let's finish up. We're going to invite you to play a game. The game we're going to play today is Make Up a Song. Now, the reason I'm doing Make Up a Song is because you make songs up. So I'm going to put you on the spot. And we may be so lucky as to get a completely original, first time heard ever, Val Kinsler classic right here on Monkey Radio. So the way this works is I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to give you two words. And your responsibility is to make up a song. It doesn't have to be 5 minutes long. But you make up a song. It has to rhyme. That's important. And it has to have a melody, whatever it is. And you have to incorporate these two words. You willing to give it a try?
Oh, this sounds really fun and scary at the same time.
That's the best thing about improv. Okay, so this is completely and totally off the top of my head. The two words that you have to work into this song are commotion and red. The word red. So
okay.
I'm going to give you a moment.
A melody,
take what,
or you're just talking about like a lyrical kind of outburst.
Nope, you have to put a melody to it, whatever it is.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be brilliant, Val. You don't have to win a Grammy
okay.
with this.
All right, here we go. Here, I can try this.
All right, here's Val Kinsler.
I can make a stab at this ditty.
All right, this sounds good. This is Val Kinsler using the words commotion and red in a song. A brand new Val Kinsler original made up right on the spot. Sharing it with the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Val Kinsler.
Reading sorrow in your eyes. Commotion is in the sky. I see red while you see blue. Such a pointless point of view. I'm not talking, you won't say. Silence screams the truth today. Conflicted in my heart. See, love the minefield. You and me.
Wow. That was incredible, Val. You made
that
up on the spot. That's you are a poet. Wow. I'm really genuinely impressed.
I would edit it somewhat, but yeah.
There's no editing going to happen. Well, yeah, later you'd edit it, but right now on the spot, holy crow. That's actually got some potential. I hope you write that down. That was, you can listen back on this and hear, you got it recorded now. So you can take that. Wow. I'm impressed. Okay.
The improv is my favorite thing. Actually, I participated in a scat event recently. This wonderful scat beatboxing artist named Kid Lucky had an event recently at the Blue Note, and we did something at Sidewalk. I didn't perform the Blue Note, which I'm hoping to in the future, but it's an improvisational scat and beatboxing movement, which I love.
Cool.
And you are actually allowed to use words, but it's completely a cappella. And I took off like wildfire with this thing. I mean, initially, like when he asked me, I thought, well, I do love scat. I really do, but I've never formally performed scat except within the confines of some of my rock and roll songs, like a jazz song called Metal Swing and such. But it was so exciting because we created these a cappella ensembles incorporating a variety of talent of, you know, beatboxers and scatting artists. It was just a brilliant thing. So to create something on the spot, that's exactly what I love to do because it's energy. Art is energy and communication in the moment.
All right. So Val Kinsler, amazing musician, quite the poet, and kind of a nice chick. Val, how can people check out your music, and what do you have coming up?
I have two gigs coming up right now. One is at Pianos on the 2nd of February, and that's going to be at 9 p.m. Pianos is on I think it's on Ludlow Street. I think it's 158 Ludlow Street, and it's free. The upstairs lounge is lovely. They have food, and it's great for a cheap date and some high quality art, because the artists who perform there are all really hand selected. It's really nice. Not to toot my own horn, I go there to listen to other artists.
No, that's cool. Yeah, that's a nice place.
And I'm very fussy. Yeah, and then
so that's pianos in Ludlow Street in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then Sidewalk Restaurant in the back, as you know, they have the anti-folk movement, which Latch started. Latch has since moved to Scotland, I believe. But Summer, who runs Sound, and Ben take charge of that now. And that's a wonderful place. We're playing there on Valentine's evening at 11 p.m. with the Val Kinsler Project. That'll be a full band set. So piano is going to be more of an acoustic setting, with my violin player scaled down. But Sidewalk, we're going to go full tilt boogie and rip it up and probably do a video and everything. So we're really psyched.
Great. And how can people check out your music that can't come to those gigs?
If you go to Val Kinsler on Facebook, find me and like our musician page. That would be wonderful. We need all the help we can get. And then ReverbNation.com/Val Kinsler as well. And there's going to be a lot of updates happening very, very soon. So we're very excited.
Everybody,
thank you so much, Mark. I really
appreciate
you having me on the show.
Everybody, you should follow Val Kinsler, because I have a feeling it's going to be a long journey. She's going to be around for a while. She is going to be around for a while. She's going places, and you should go with her. Everybody, Val Kinsler, okay. Thanks for being on Monkey Radio. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
All right, what a classy chick. Very,
yeah,
very
really
cool. Being on the show, Val. Okay, hey, John.